like this.
Yeah. Now, folks. To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes.
Hey everybody, welcome to Spin Class, a couple clueless Caucasians critiquing the classics. I'm Andy Dare, that's Tyler Kale. How you doing, buddy?
Good, I'm trying to work out that hashtag, all those, like, make the acronym, a couple of Caucasian, I still don't even know what it is.
And I still stutter when I say it, yeah. But I like it, and that's courtesy of Superfan Giovanni, who's executive producing. This is the second episode where we critique a classic hip-hop album. And what do we got this week?
Yeah, we got Ready to Die, which is more people probably know of it than Liquid Swords, I would say. I would say the majority of the public knows this. It was more pop. You know, Biggie would probably be upset with that, but P. Diddy would love it. It was certainly more pop than, like, Wu-Tang, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I read Four Times Platinum, and that's 4 million sold. That's quite a big release. And I think it still stands the test of time. It's his only album that was released during his lifetime. So,
well, he only had two, right? There's still more shit popping out there. I don't know.
Oh shit! You're just completely. Hello.
Consider him having two albums, but there's probably like mixtapes and stuff.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, you were just like a Aphex Twin song or something. Let me check call quality guide. What will this do for us? Let me see.
I can still hear you. I don't know.
Huh. Call quality troubleshooters. Hello, check 1-2.
Yeah. Okay. You're coming in clear.
Now you're clear too. All right.
You were never unclear. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It's just you've been going in and out a little bit, so.
Huh.
Yeah. And I want you to sound good. Hey, would you ever want me to call your cell phone? Now it says the internet connection is slow. Hello?
You can call. Yeah, I'm here. You can call my cell. I don't care.
Let's hear how shitty that sounds. If it's completely shitty, but at least not glitchy, we'll see what's the worst.
Okay,
I'll give you a call.
Try it.
Okay.
I don't get this. I call people like a million times a day. Why does it sound bad on the phone?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, now you're sounding pretty good. So
yeah, you sound better now, too. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense.
It comes and goes. Yeah, that's...
How have we never had this problem? Didn't we record like 25 smooth operators and never had this problem?
That is true. Yeah, you didn't mess with your internet or anything. Did you change anything?
No.
No?
No. All right.
Yeah, now you're sounding great, of course. So.
Well, hurry up and record.
Okay, let's do it. So this is the last one he recorded within his lifetime. I guess he was shot the week before Life After Death.
Yeah, I was saying I only two albums. When I look at him, but I'm sure there's been like mixtapes released, you know, after Life After Death. I don't know.
Sure, and tons of like these posthumous releases that I'm sure his family is all about doing and stuff like that, making a few pennies off.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like as far for real albums, there's really only two.
Yeah, there's only two, and this one I think is a mark above. Actually, they're pretty equal, to be honest. I think the second one's great as well. So
I would actually I think the second. Oh, I don't know what was more successful. Second one was it was rare follow ups. Was like you could make an argument that it's better than the original. You really could. It's more like I don't know. He's more in his. And it is. It's more poppy. It's more puffy infused with like Diana Ross. You know, people didn't even know why they liked that song so much. You know, they had no idea.
It is true. And like I'm reading up on Ready to Die too. They had like tons of lawsuits over the album. And
sure.
And Puff Daddy tried to put his pop stamp on like half the songs because you couldn't just make a hit just being like a brutally honest hip hop album.
Yes, absolutely. And he had a flow, too, that was I don't know. It was relatable. The average person would like it. Like, your mom could almost feel the vibe. Like, your mom's not going to feel jizza. You know what I mean? But your mom could almost, like, tap her foot to Biggie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could totally agree with that. And, yeah, how about first time hearing the album? Was it something that was, you know, the same time as it was out? Or was it something that you discovered way after?
No, I think the first single was Juicy, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Yeah, that's when I heard that song and I was hooked. I probably bought the album the next day. I think I saw it on MTV or something like that. That's how I used to find most of my favorite music. So.
Yeah, I was looking at this and the second single was Big Papa. That's kind of when I heard about him. And it's February of 95. That's when I was just like really getting into MTV and music, seeing him on the spring break shows too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was wild. Yeah, I was just talking about those in Rock and Jock. Like, I used to live for that. That was everything to me.
Yeah, MTV's gone from being the biggest tastemaker in music to being just reality shows and stuff that, you know, pregnant teenagers. So it's,
I'll tell you what, I don't know the last time I turned MTV on. It's probably been 10 years. And really, I can't remember. I don't know. No, I used to watch, what's that show? Laguna Beach. And that was like 10 years ago.
It's crazy that was 10 years ago, but I think it was. Yeah, it was about 05, 06, something like that. But
Kristen Cavallari's like unsexavable now. That's what 10 years will do.
That's what, being married to a terrible quarterback will do to you, too. Like,
double chin Commodus. That's what
he
is.
You get really comfortable, especially, But, so this was a huge album, and What Up Wiki is our next segment where I just read a little bit of Wikipedia. The most truthful source on the internet. The album was recorded in New York City, mainly the Hit Factory recording studio in two stages between 93 and 94. In 94, Biggie was only 21 to 22 years old when he recorded the album. Biggie was signed to Uptown Records label by A&R Sean Puffy Combs in 93. The following year, Biggie started recording his debut album in New York after having made numerous guest appearances on label mate singles the previous year. The first tracks recorded included the album's darker, less radio-friendly content, including Ready to Die, Gimme the Loot, and Things Done Changed, all great songs. In these sessions, XXL Magazine, I'm so white, described an inexperienced, higher-pitched Biggie sounding hungry and paranoid. Then executive producer Sean Puffy Combs was fired from Uptown. Biggie's career hung in limbo as the album was only partially completed. After a brief period dealing drugs in North Carolina, Biggie returned to the studio the following year on Combs' brand new Bad Boy Records label, possessing a smoother, more confident vocal tone, and completed the album. In this stage, the more commercial-sounding tracks of the album were recorded, including the album's singles. Between the two stages, XXL writes that Biggie moved from writing his lyrics in notebooks to freestyling them from memory. That's our What Up Wiki.
Wow. Well, I don't know. It sounds pretty accurate at first blush.
Yeah, like I always hear about rappers not writing anything down. Isn't that what Jay-Z does and stuff? And it's like, really? You do that?
Heard that too, but no. I don't know if I believe it. I did hear that about Jay-Z. I forget who said it. Jay-Z said it. But
I think they always say it. And, I mean, you can't really go back and see the footage from the studio that he's not reading up his notebook. Oh, yeah, I totally freestyled that whole thing. But
well, I always think those, like, freestyles, like on Tim Westwood. You ever listen to those?
Sure.
I always feel like stage too. Like, it's perfect. Like, unless you're a super genius – how do you just come up with that stuff like that? You know, I don't know.
Those Eminem's ones are what I'm thinking about from about like year 2001 and stuff. And
yes,
those are written exactly. Down. He's got to be. But you know, when he's just not reading it, he's just going off. That's kind of a freestyle, you know.
Sure, but like you're not coming up with it off the top of your head. Like, it's impossible. It really is.
And then when they really freestyle, if you ever go to, like, a hip-hop show in the city and they really freestyle, it's not as good. It's just about, like, the dude's clothes or is what's ugly about him or something.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's, like, completely mind-blowing like some of those written freestyles are, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I was looking. I was researching the album and the Source Awards '95. Have you seen the two different YouTube videos where they were at the same show, Bad Boy Records, and the same show? There was obviously the Death Row whole crew were there too. Have you seen those?
Like video footage of it?
Yeah, like they each YouTube? Get like an 8-minute segment of the show showcasing like their entire like label roster. It's pretty funny.
Huh. Well, I weren't like Biggie and Tupac friends though. I've been meaning to watch the Biggie documentary.
I think like earlier, or, like in like maybe when he was recording this or something, but at 95, like Biggie was already having his success, and I guess that's when the whole feud started. And then they had these two like dueling huge segments on this on the BET. Was it the BET Awards or the Source Awards? It was one of those. But the Death Row is great because it starts off with what was it? It's Natural Born Killers. It's Dre comes out, then Snoop comes out, then like Corrupt and Daz, the Dog Pound come out, and. Yeah, the Lady of Rage, which I hope she saves some of her Death Row money, because the Lady of Rage isn't really doing too much anymore with her Afro Puff single. And and they're all wearing like blue khakis, of course, and they're all hardcore too. And then the Bad Boy one is actually pretty soft. Like Faith Evans gets like 2 minutes of their thing, and she's singing, and like Lil Kim comes out with her Junior Mafia and all those, and Biggie comes out, and it's actually kind of a lot softer than you didn't really realize it, but they were more R&B influenced.
Well, wasn't Lil Kim like fucking both of them? I thought
probably, yeah. And
she was going back and forth.
And I think Faith Evans was Biggie's girlfriend at the time. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right. I think so. Faye. That's right. Like he had a song on Jay-Z's album. What was that album? A Reasonable Doubt.
Second or the third song. Something about Brooklyn.
Yeah, right. Brooklyn's Finest.
It's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's talking about Faith Evans and Tupac, and it's a really good song. You should check it out, guys. That should be on this list at some point.
It's weird. Faith Evans has like bleach blonde hair and like bright white makeup. And it's like she's trying to look like Jennifer Aniston or something in 1995. It's strange. Like, you don't see Nicki Minaj pulling that maneuver. I guess you see Iggy Azalea, but I don't know what.
Yeah, really well, what race is Iggy Azalea? She's not even black. But it's I've written about this before. It's like the black women that try to look white. I created an all-star team of that, and with Vanessa Williams was the first one.
Oh, sure.
She won.
Yeah.
She won Miss America. And that started the trend of the flat iron, like, hair. I really believe that.
It's a 90s thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Now they're more proud than ever. I mean, yeah, why not? You should be. But
I just think that natural looks best. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true. And, my next topic kind of goes in with that. How about body image? And it was weird because with the singles Big Papa and One More Chance, he became kind of an unlikely sex symbol, but was he really a sex symbol, or was he just a rapper who's talking, you know, you don't want to be a rapper and talking about how you can't get chicks. It's about how you're the baddest dude in the club and you're in a hot tub and all this stuff. And so he was 100 pounds overweight, but you know, the girls, ladies still love him, right?
He was more than 100 pounds overweight. First of all, he's probably 200 pounds overweight, but that's what he used to rap about. He was like, y'all wouldn't fuck me before. When you were chasing skirts, I was sewing tigers on my shirts. Like, that was the whole thing is, look, I'm still big and fat and ugly, and now you want to fuck me? Oh, it's because I'm successful. And yeah, I mean, this doesn't happen for women. It's not like Melissa McCarthy can be as famous as she wants, and me and Brad Pitt aren't going to be like, oh my God, now we got to fuck her. It's just, but for women though, like they're attracted to like power and success and stuff. It doesn't matter what he looks like.
And personality,
you know?
And humor helped. He was very funny. He had a big larger than life personality.
Hell,
so
hell yeah. So he was a sex symbol in spite of his like, physical traits, you know. He was
even like Snoop Dogg too, is not a good looking brother, right? I mean, if he was just a guy on the street, you would just say, oh yeah, you're like 50 pounds underweight and you're like 6'8" and you're just spindly and you kind of look like a dog in your face. And it's like, but no, the ladies love him because he's funny, he's got a personality, he's smooth, and that gets you that gets you anywhere. That gets me somewhere too. I mean, it's good.
Well, I would say it's more important than looks. It trumps looks. Only men care about looks. Like, we'll take Giselle over anyone funny. Sure. We just will. Sorry. You know?
It is true.
But yeah, with men, sure. Sure. Yeah. Like, power is everything. Power more than humor. We'll make a pecking order. I would say power, then personality. No, power, money, personality, looks. That's
humor
the net
somewhere
trick.
In there, yeah.
Yeah, and then women, it's just looks. That's it.
Nice. And for my next thing, I'm going to do a pork skin break where I chew on a pork skin. Listen to this.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red.
All right, that good moment brought to you by the good folks at Dare Network. All right, and we are back. We are talking about the Notorious B.I.G. It's weird that he went by Biggie Smalls and the Notorious B.I.G. If I was his manager, I'd say, dude, pick one, because it's really hard to like market you with two different names.
Well, I never even knew which one he was supposed to be. Anyway.
Why was there a period between the B.I. and the G, too?
Yeah, right.
That doesn't stand for anything, right? No.
It does not. Well, yeah, what does it stand for?
Biggie, if you just let me be your manager, you'd probably still be around and you'd be, you know, doing the entire Ready to Die set at one of these festivals. You'd be making major bank right now.
Oh, my gosh. Who knows what could have happened if he kept making more albums? I don't know. It's a weird thing to think about.
It might be another Bill Cosby case. You never know.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's better to just go out while you're on top. I mean, he's immortal based on those two albums. I mean, put together, I'd say those two, like, there's no flaws. Even Tupac had some, like, not so great. Like, he had two all-timers, like, just killers. It's like, what's his name? That guy who wrapped his car around a tree. James Dean. Sure. Like, he was a nominated for an Academy Award in every movie. Like, he was in, because he was only in like three or four.
That's true.
It's sometimes that's the best way.
I think it's the Eminem rule too, where if Eminem died after the Marshall Mathers LP, he would be just
God. Yeah, for real.
And he did, you know, I don't know.
Now he's like kind of like a joke now.
Recovery.
Yeah. He's a little bit of a joke. Like, he's an old man trying to be his young self, like on his last album. Like, I couldn't take it. I couldn't handle it.
No, he's lost the fire, and it's sad. Yeah. But yeah, that's what happens when you're in the game now 16 or 17 years. And I figure every episode I do a little wrap-up with the All Music review. Check them out at allmusic.com. They're kind of friends of my show. It's pretty much, like, hands down the best source for album reviews. If you want to look up an old album, a new album, whatever. It's a gorgeous-looking website, and they're pretty unbiased. Let me grab that. It's not too long. Okay. The album that reinvented East Coast rap for the gangsta age, Ready to Die, made the Notorious B.I.G. a star and vaulted Sean Puffy Combs' Bad Boy label into the spotlight as well. Today it's recognized as one of the greatest hardcore rap albums ever recorded, and that's mostly due to Biggie's skill as a storyteller. His raps are easy to understand, but his skills are hardly lacking. He has a loose, easy flow and a talent for piling multiple rhymes on top of one another in quick succession. He's blessed with a flair for the dramatic and slips in and out of different contradictory characters with ease. Yet no matter how much he heightens things for effect, it's always easy to see the elements of Biggie in his narrators and of his own experience in the details. Everything is firmly rooted in reality, but plays like scenes from a movie. A sense of doom pervades his most involved stories, Fierce Bandits on Gimme the Loot, A Hustler's Beloved Girlfriend, Me and My Bitch, and Robbers Out for Biggie's Newfound Riches, Warning. They all die in hails of gunfire. The album is also sprinkled with reflections on the soul-draining bleakness of the streets, Things done changed, ready to die, and everyday struggle are powerfully affecting in their confusion and despair. Not everything is so dark, though. Combs' production collaborations result in some upbeat commercial moments and typically cop from recognizable hits. The Jackson 5 on I Want You Back on the graphic sex rap One More Chance, M2Me on Juicy Fruit, or M2Me's Juicy Fruit on the Rags to Riches Chronicle Juicy, and the Isley Brothers Between the Sheets on the Overweight Lover anthem Big Papa. Producer Easy Moby's deliberate beats do get a little samey, but it hardly matters. This is Biggie's show, and by the time Suicidal Thoughts closes the album on a heartbreaking note, it's clear why he was so revered even prior to his death.
Gosh, that's awesome. And it is. It's so funny. Is what really, when I look back at it, what put it over the top was layering in those classic hits, you know, with the raps. Sure. That really is. It's like adding salt to your, like, custard or whatever you put salt in.
That is true. Like, and then you end it with Suicidal Thoughts. Like, he always had a vision of his own death, kind of, and I don't know, in the 90s, that was a popular thing to, like, talk about your own demise and stuff. Obviously, Tupac, your Kurt Cobains, I'm forgetting some other ones, but yeah, it was weird to see Ready to Die and then Life After Death after he really dies, so.
Yeah, for real. I don't know. Nostradamus. I always used to make the joke about, like, he had a line, like, blow up, like, the World Trade. Sure. And I always used to say, like, oh, he predicted what would happen in 2001, you know? But someone corrected me and said, blew up before? I don't know.
There had been a bombing in, like, the first floor of the World Trade. And it wasn't, I think it, you know, didn't really kill anybody, or it was just a few floors of the thing or something like that in 93 or 4, I think, so.
Okay. Well,
but yeah, he was kind of
Nostradamus
in other ways too. It's true. How about the debate over posthumous releases? I you know, I never really check out these things. I'm not too interested in them. I think, you know, Biggie and Tupac have each had 5, 6, 7 of these things.
Yeah.
Seems like it stopped about 5 to 10 years ago, but you know, the 10 years following their deaths, it was every year or so. There's a new Biggie album, and it's just old, you know, it's old demos and stuff like that, and it's just their families. I mean, I can understand their families wanting to get paid.
Sure.
And it's weird because I did see that they had to pay, or they were sued for $4 million, and the record sold $4 million, and, well, they talked it down to giving the guy $2 million for all these sample issues and stuff like that. So maybe the families didn't get that much money from the albums.
I don't, well, that is the thing about, like, dying young. He can't just get appearance fees and stuff for going to events,
sure,
you know?
Play shows. There's, that's the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well.
But, yeah, I think that's a beautiful spot to end up on. And
well,
was there anything?
Aren't we? Yeah, we have to give it 5 stars or something, right?
Well, yeah. How about the plugs first? Tyler Kale, where can the listeners find you if they want to find out more about you?
Go to my Instagram. That's the most, like, succinct place to find my stuff. It's just Tyler Kale, TylerKahl. I haven't been posting much because I'm an agent now. I'm a junior talent agent, so I'm still trying. But I have a real job. It's easier to run your. You can tell how successful someone is by how often they post on Instagram. You know, that's the best measurement. Just like I say, the best IQ test is how much did you like American Sniper? If you liked it, your IQ is probably like 70.
Sure.
But yes, how much you post on Instagram is equivalent of how successful you are in life. But I'm still trying. It's a good way to showcase my artwork and engage with the fans. Not that I have any.
Any new
still.
Big talent you're working with that we should know about or you want to spread the word about?
I'm recruiting commercial people. That's like my big thing right now.
I
so
get you. Pretty cool.
It's not exactly a star making machine. And if anything, it keeps you off of television shows. But I digress.
Nice. Yeah, I unfollow the people that post multiple times a day usually. So
good.
But yeah, I mean, the Dop Spot. You're still doing that, right? Or here in the-
I mean, I still have it, and I still have the skill set, but no, I have not worked on one in probably over a month. But I can. If anyone out there wants to pay me, I'll do it.
So is it still dopspot.com, right?
Yeah, and dopspot.tumblr.com. Nice. But you can find them all on my Instagram, too. So.
Nice. They're all on Instagram and celebrity doppelgangers. Lots of cool different people put together that look oddly similar. Oh. And you've got a knack for that.
So. I'm the best in the world. I will say that. I really am the best. I defy you. Bring me someone who can do a comparable job. Like Totally Cheeseburger, whatever that site is. Fuck you. You guys suck.
Nice. And, yeah, if people want to hear more about me, andyderer.com, A-N-D-Y-D-E-R-E-R. I got a podcast weekly thing where I interview musicians. This week we talked to Kevin Wood, the brother of Andrew Wood, kind of the godfather of grunge. He was in Mother Love Bone, which after he died of a heroin overdose in 90, that began Pearl Jam. So that's kind of a big deal. And, andyderer.com. I've got other things. I got the guy from Teenage Fan Club a couple weeks ago. That was an honor. And it was funny that you used one of their song lyrics for one of your episodes. And I was like, what is that from? I couldn't think of
it. She likes my hair because it's down my back. They used it, and I like Jason Reitman just because of this, is there was a movie called Young Adult, okay, with Charlize Theron.
Sure. Yeah.
Who's one of my favorite bitches of all time. And she's like goes back to school to win back her high school. Like she goes back to her hometown to win back her high school boyfriend. And like that's their favorite song. So they play it the whole movie. It's The Concept. That's the name of the song. Yeah. And it's incredible. I just love it so much. Just because music is so powerful. It made me like an entire movie.
That's awesome.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, so if you like interviews with musicians, not brand new musicians, people that have been around the block, they're nationally known, they're not local to Chicago or anything like that. I'm not interested in the local scene here. I'm interested in people that have been around the block and have some cool memories and are still doing it. You know, that's what I'm about. So, spinclasspodcast.com. Check out the first episode. It's covering Liquid Swords by the GZA. And, we'll hopefully do another one each week. My last thing that we end up on, is this a five-star classic or not? The Notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die from 1994 on Bad Boy Records. What do you think, Tyler?
I would give it more than five if possible. It is the five-star, like, it's the mold in which the five-star published. It's like, come and get me. Here's the mold. It's up here. Like, try it.
I would definitely say so. And even the double album after it, I'd say that's pretty close to five, too, but maybe it had a little bit more padding because it had two albums worth.
I'd give it a five.
I'd give it a five, too, because I like double albums. I like the weird little experiments people try on double albums and stuff like that.
Oh, it was so good. The music videos were so good. When I think of the 90s, you cannot think of the 90s without that fish-eyed lens on, like, Mace.
Hype Williams, right?
Yeah, that's right. You can't. There's no 90s without that album, these albums, without Biggie. It's not decades without them.
Yeah,
so.
It's an image forever burned into our brains. And, yeah, I definitely agree. Five-star classic. Thanks for checking out the Spin Class podcast. Any last words, Tyler?
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I know there's a lot of choices, but we're unique and, like, cool and stuff. So come listen to
us. Give me the loop. Give me the loop. Give me the loop. Give me the loop.